Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we've got another great show for you. I can't take all these great shows. They're just so great. Oh my God, every guest is amazing. Tonight, I'm really interested in our guest that we have on tonight, and he is not only a media, entertainment, and real estate investor, but he's also production, distribution of over 250 films and a TV series. He's also won an Academy Award for Best Foreign Film for Departures, and oh my goodness, now he's got this new book out, and he's really big into real estate. He's got a new book out that he's written with Paul Zane Pilzer, and the book is The New Roaring Twenties: Prosper in a Volatile Times. With us, without further ado, is Mr. Stephen P. Jarkow. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I hope everybody out there is doing well. So now you are, like we said earlier, before as we were introducing you, a media and real estate mogul over in L.A. What made you get involved into this book?
Well, my friend, Paul Zane Pilzer, was working on this book. He was trying to answer questions that his children were asking him about what the future might hold. And Paul and I have known each other for 40 years and have invested together in real estate in this country. And we did a lot of business in Russia and in China. And I got a call from Paul and his wife indicating that Paul was suffering from an illness and he needed my help to finish the book. And so I was happy to do that. Spent some time working with him to get the book finished, and now it's come out.
How's he feeling? I hope he's okay.
Well, he has his good days and bad days.
Well, we're thinking of him, that's for sure. And you have, I believe, four books in you've written in taxation and finances over the years. So it kind of seemed like a hand-in-hand type of thing when he reached out to you, I guess, because the future is going to be affected financially, job-wise, everything with AI technology. So I guess this was something that you really got into, too, as well, not only to help Paul.
Well, we use artificial intelligence in a number of our businesses. You know, AI has been around since probably the 1950s, and we currently have it integral within our lives.
Right.
You know, it's in our web search engines, our infrastructure,
phones,
our logistics, cell phones, autos, manufacturing systems, you know, Siri and Alexa. That's all AI. And,
right.
But now, in the last couple of years, there has been the development of generative AI, which uses large language models, is able to extract millions of data points and can actually create content, text, code, images, and video. And it's just the first few baby steps into what will be, you know, really the rest of our lives. And it's a dual-purpose phenomena, like many things, including humans, because it's going to create great wealth, and it's going to speed up and replace repetitive data-driven tasks and diagnose illnesses, help with surgery. It's going to help us with climate management and policing and firefighting, logistics. But it also poses grave dangers, and there's a more than zero chance that AI will be the end of us.
Well, you know, back in the day, even like old movies, the classic movies, I mean, they always said one day we're going to be taken over by computers or robots or anything like that. But it's amazing that we are approaching this surge right now. I mean, if you search online, everything, a lot of things are generated with AI. You got the ChatGPT. In music alone, Stephen, you can actually create music with AI now. You don't even need anything. You need nothing. You just type in, write me a hit song, or what? I don't know if it would write a hit, but write me a song, and it does it. It's just amazing.
Well, it's a matter of giving the proper prompts and explaining to the AI precisely what you want. But the results are pretty impressive as to what AI can come up with. There's no evidence that AI is sentient, that it has human emotions or feelings or any of that. But, you know, its ability to extract large amounts of data and collate that data and create music or images or video is rather extraordinary. And so it, certainly in the entertainment business, it's going to play a huge role going forward.
Right. Well, that's why I was just going to mention the strikes that are going on now with AI. Some people could be obsolete. So, I mean, it is a good thing technically, technology-wise, and but it's not a good thing. It's very bad when it comes to some people may lose their jobs. Some people will benefit financially, like you said, and it's just crazy. But that's been the way technology's been ever since it started. I mean, look how many people went out of business with technology now.
Absolutely. And this is not only going to affect the movie business and the music business, it's going to affect all jobs.
Every day.
Currently, about 50% of our population is employed in the workforce, either as part of the gig economy or working for a company or someone else. And that's probably over the next 10 years going to decline to 30%, which means a lot of people out of work. And in addition, those who are working may have to learn very different jobs. So it's going to be a time of quite a bit of economic and political dislocation. And so far, you know, I don't know that we're anticipating that properly or giving it its proper due. This is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. And I honestly, I find it somewhat dangerous to some degree, because you could take someone's voice or whatever and have them say something that they didn't mean to say. I mean, look at what Elon Musk did. He took away the blue marks, check marks on Twitter. And now people are pretending to be these people, celebrities or anybody in the industry or anybody of prominence, and they're saying, even like these companies, I don't recall what company it was, but somebody took their name and on Twitter and they said something really bad about the company, and it's like, it's just, it is dangerous, I think, in a way, but it is good. I mean, it's the sign of the times. What are you going to do, right? You have to get on board.
Well, you know, social media is a crude form of artificial intelligence, and we've seen the corrosive effect that has had on our national dialogue and the addiction of young people. And it's, you know, and you know, Congress had a chance to regulate it, but instead they opted out under Section 230 of the 1996 Act, where Congress enacted a provision that social media platforms are not responsible for the content that they promulgate, and that has opened the floodgates. And with AI, the whole thing is just going to increase in speed and intensity, this is going to create huge opportunities for criminal behavior and fraud.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as you point out, machines impersonating humans,
right,
and providing additional disinformation. We already have a great deal of it out there, and it's going to get worse.
Right. Now, the book is called, folks, it's called The New Roaring Twenties, Prosper in a Volatile Times. Now, in the book, is it somewhat of a survivor guide? I cannot speak tonight, Stephen. I'm so sorry. My tongue is tongue-tied. Is it a survival guide to some degree for folks who want to adapt to the changes, or the book is telling you the changes?
I think the book is intended to identify 12 major areas or trends that are going to occur during the next 10 years. Leading with technology and artificial intelligence, the acceleration of all that. But
right,
it also talks about energy, structural unemployment, the sharing revolution, and talks a great deal about China and Russia and how to deal with those two countries from a geopolitical standpoint. But the big focus on the book is technology and
right,
the wealth it's going to create, but the fact that a lot of people are not going to be able to adjust very readily to it. And as you have pointed out, it creates huge opportunities for bad actors to utilize it to engage in criminal behavior or to manipulate the population. There's also weaponization of artificial intelligence with autonomous weapons systems, which a machine will make the decision whether there is a kill shot or a bombing. The Department of Defense has said that only humans will make those kinds of choices, but we're dealing with Russia and China,
right,
who are not going to have those sorts of limitations. And in order for our military to compete, I suspect they may need to go to autonomous weapons systems, and potentially, a machine could launch, atomic bombs and nuclear devices. And that's one of the ways that could be the end of us, because that could readily get out of control.
Right.
Now, having said that, what do we do about it?
Right.
What are the solutions? Because it's fine to be a Cassandra and go on about how great it's going to be and how terrible it's going to be, but what can one do? Well, there is a need to regulate. And we're seeing a surprisingly proactive Congress and executive branch, as well as a number of the regulatory agencies, kind of recognize that this is perhaps the end game, and they really need to provide intelligent guardrails,
right,
with respect to how AI is used. It is very important that the U.S. and China achieve some sort of understanding and work together with respect to AI and with respect to the economy at large.
Right.
Our relationship with China is not in a great place right now.
No.
But I am cautiously optimistic that these two great nations will recognize that there's more to be gained, particularly with the advent of AI, by working together. Paul, my co-author, has spent a great deal of time in China and has met with presidents and premiers over there. And, he firmly believes that China is looking for an opportunity to get in a better place with us, and that we have to be open to that, particularly in order to deal with the opportunities and the danger of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of litigation that comes out of artificial intelligence because algorithms are going to make mistakes. There's going to be damage, and lawyers will be all over it. And it will eliminate many routine lawyer and accountant tasks and reduce perhaps the number of lawyers and accountants. But the litigation is going to increase because there are so many issues of copyright, use of image, right of publicity, and privacy, all of these things, which are, you know, probably going to end up in the courts. And that's ultimately a part of how they're going to be regulated. In addition, there is a danger in current AI, the various chatbots, of hallucinations, where a AI will create a completely imaginary situation, believe it to be true, and promulgate that. And that's something that the large technology companies are very alert to. They're mystified by it to a certain extent because one of the disturbing things about all this is that the technologists and engineers, and there are, you know, thousands of them now who are working on various aspects of AI, really do not understand how generative large language models really work and how computers do what they do. And that suggests that this whole phenomena could easily get out of control.
Right.
But, you know, getting back to solutions, we can only deal with what we can deal with. We, you know, you and I can't solve the world's problems.
Right.
Although this kind of conversation is an example of a simple step that can be taken. One of the ways that we can deal with AI in the future as it begins to take over our lives is to be more human.
Right.
And to
I think we lost our I think we've lost our way there. The human aspect is we've lost our way, definitely.
But let's consider what, you know, an individual human can do.
Right.
You can decide, look, I'm going to be more human. I'm going to spend time with humans. I'm not going to be staring at email all the time.
Right.
You know, you go into a restaurant nowadays and you'll see couples, neither of them talking to each other, just looking at their phones.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible.
For the entire duration of the meal in some cases.
Yep.
And we
children,
need to get away
I'm
from
sorry, Stephen, and children as old as two working a cell phone better than me.
Well, they're natives to this technology. You and I are immigrants.
Yeah.
And,
well, actually,
yeah,
I was going to ask you that. What is your prowess in tech? Are you very tech savvy or no?
I don't consider myself a technologist. I'm able to use technology. We use it in all of our businesses.
Yes.
And I understand how we're going to use it. And every day, you know, I'm faced with decisions and issues and strategies related to technology and AI.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't consider myself a tech person per se. I can use it. But, you know, I don't code or program.
Yeah, me. I'm in the same boat. I know nothing about technology. You tell me what to do, I can do it, you know.
Right, and you have to be able to use it to a certain extent.
Exactly.
But,
right.
You know, I go back to the fact that in addition to regulation and the U.S. and China establishing a detente on technology and AI, I really believe that a soft way, but an important way to deal with this is to become more human and to look for opportunities to be of service to one another.
Yeah.
As you get older, you know, people get around you, get sick, they have problems. And there are a number of things you can do if you look for opportunities to help others. And part of this is just reaching out to people. People get busy. We all have friends who haven't contacted us for a while.
Right.
Reach out to them. They'll be very happy to hear from you. And you'll renew that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of small acts, frankly, for each individual human, that's something we can all do. And
yes.
That will go a long way towards correcting the problems caused by AI, social media, and all of the adversaries of good conversation and patience, listening to people who you disagree with. That,
mm-hmm.
I remember in the past, you would go to a party or an event, and you'd often talk to someone who had a very different view.
And it was fine. And it was fine, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Not now.
And not now. I mean, everybody's yelling at one another. Stop doing that. We're not going to arrive at any solutions for climate change or AI or much
mm-hmm.
of anything else if we cannot listen to one another.
Yeah.
And reach a consensus on certain things. And I'm not saying that's going to solve the problem, but if each
it's
of us tries to do that, it'll be a step.
Right, right. And I think if you want to become human, you have to have a little bit of empathy and sympathy for others as well, which I think we've lost our way with that too somewhere along the line. Not me personally. I have not changed one bit, but I think people of our generation, you're my age, I think, or around there. And it's just, we are a different breed where we didn't have this growing up. We had a life. We went outside. We spent time with people. They don't do that now. Their friends are on the computer and they don't even go out to play like when we were kids. You know, it's just crazy how life has changed so drastically from when we were kids to how it is now. These kids have no choice but to look at computers because their parents, they don't want to be bothered with the kid. Here, go play on the computer, do this, that, or whatever, you know? It's just changed so drastically. It's really a shame that we are where we are right now. And with AI coming into play, and like you said, the last 2 years, I've noticed it's picked up a lot. But with AI coming into play, forget it. People are going to – and if you could own your own robot where you could actually have a relationship with this thing now, I mean, come on. You know, nothing's going to get better if we need to – you have influence. Why don't you go to Washington and talk to these folks and get this party started on changing everything and regulation?
Well, again, where I could start is with myself.
Well, true.
The way I respond to other humans, and
right.
by listening to them, even if I disagree with them, and to be open-minded enough to change my mind as I hear other people's arguments and as I get more facts. Things we talk about in the book are, trends that we think have a reasonable chance of being a part of our culture, our civilization, and our economy going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems with AI is that AI is a generative AI is a language model. It uses language. It uses stories. And, our civilization is based on the stories we tell. Money, which is largely a digital commodity now, is a story.
Right.
The reason we accept money as a means of conducting commerce or purchasing things is because we believe the story of money. Religion, in whatever form it takes, is a story. And it's a story that we accept and we believe, and if we're smart enough, we'll be open-minded to other people's stories in this regard. Democracy is a story.
Right.
Unless we hold together and believe that story, democracy will not hold together. One of the dangers is that if we cede too much of our humanity to machines, they will be telling us the stories. And for
right.
the first time, we'll be getting our stories from a non-human source, and those stories may be very different than the stories that, you know, we've built upon, the stories you and
right.
I heard as children,
mm-hmm.
and the stories we've tried to take to our children wherever possible.
It's just, it's like a vicious circle here, a vicious cycle that, you know, we know what we have to do. Will we do it? And again, I mean, we had so much disarray with, like you said, bots. I mean, people from Russia or China pumping into our political aspect online and twisting the truth, you know, with things too. And it's just not stopping. And in your opinion, Stephen, in your opinion, who is stronger technically? Is it U.S., China, or Russia? Who do you think has the upper hand right now?
Knowledge. Oh, we are definitely.
Really? I was going to say China, but I guess I don't know.
I don't believe so, based on everything I've seen and read and studied. You know, and I think the consensus among technologists and also the major companies, the most valuable companies in the world. You know, today, the most valuable companies in the world are all information companies. There's Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, which is Google and YouTube, Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram,
right.
Amazon. And the biggest part of Amazon is not the selling of goods and, you know, what we see as Amazon. It's AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, that produces most of their profit. NVIDIA is the chip company that provides a lot of the chips for AI. And then Tesla, which, you know, is part, arguably, of the one of the solutions to climate change.
Right.
These are the companies that are the most valuable companies in the world, and these are, you know, U.S. companies. There are very valuable companies in China and in India. And India is going to become the most populous country in the world here shortly, within the next year.
Man.
And yes, and India is going to be quite competitive in the world. I mean, a lot of business, particularly administrative tasks and tech tasks are outsourced to India.
And
so
financial.
We don't,
financial. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And India is going to be a very meaningful participant going forward. But I think the key here, if I had to, well, first of all, let me back up and say I'm cautiously optimistic. My experience in my own life and businesses, as well as my observation with respect to the world, is everything is difficult. Everything looks hopeless. It's all a disaster. It's one tragedy after another, and we always kind of get through it.
Right.
And I'm hopeful that that will be the case here, although I think this is the seminal test of humanness, of
right.
you know, whether humanity will prevail. But, you know, right now our economy is strong here in the United States. We have low unemployment, the lowest it's
mm-hmm.
been in a long time.
Right.
Inflation is declining.
Mm-hmm.
Our gross domestic product is growing at a rapid rate. NATO, due to Putin's miscalculations, is the strongest it's ever been. We have, since World War II, never been more united with our her European allies.
Right.
and basically have Russia kind of fenced in. And with the admission of Finland to NATO, you know, Finland has approximately an 800-mile border with Russia. And, you know, Finland was always sort of neutral and not part of, you know, a very strong NATO alliance. So America has, in my opinion, some things going for it right now. And, you know, everybody, you read all the time about, oh, aren't things awful? And on some level, things are awful. But, you know, I think our country is actually not badly positioned. And, again, I believe that if we can establish a detente and a working relationship, we don't have to be friends, but if we can work closely with China,
right.
You know, China and the U.S. comprise 50% of the world's gross domestic product and only 20% of the population. Never before in history have two countries been so dominant in the world economy, and there are so many ways that we go back and forth and service one another's economic needs.
Right, right.
You know, their system is centralized, but they, even though are very interested in consolidating party power,
pardon me,
are authoritarian, they honestly do care about the people. And, you know, over the last 25 years have brought well over 1.2 billion people out of poverty, which is something that's never been accomplished in world history.
Right.
So they have some positive things going for them, and an alliance, or at least a cessation of calling each other names, could go a long way towards dealing with climate change, dealing with AI, and
climate change, the geopolitical situation. Right, climate change, we all have to work together on that, every country, every whatever. But then the AI, again, that we all have to come together. And again, like you said, we don't have to get along, but we need to get together and work together to for the survival of our world, I think. I mean, like you said, it's just rapidly changed right before our eyes, Stephen. It's like, you know, when we were kids, I never expected to be where we are now, but we are here, and we need to take advantage of it or embrace it. And like you said, get some regulations in there so that we remain holding the upper hand against technology. But now in the book, do you have things in there of what people can do to make money during these times? I don't want to give the book away.
Yeah. First of all, a lot of people are, because of the dislocation in employment, a lot of people are going to need to start thinking about being their own boss.
Right.
Or working in the business opportunity business, which means being part of the gig economy, because Airbnb, for example, has spawned, you know, not just people who lease out one place or house, they have 7 houses, and it's created a whole business and a whole, you know, another economy.
Right.
Uber and Lyft, much the same sort of thing. People have fleets of cars, and what they use Uber and Lyft for is a brand, a recognizable brand.
Right.
And the gig economy is going to be a bigger part. And a lot of people need, and we discussed this in some detail, a lot of people need to start thinking about if they need to move on from their job. Yeah. Is their job one that is threatened by all the things going on in the world, and do they need to plan ahead? And we identify the steps one might take to begin to plan your life. You know, we're no longer in a world where one can take a job and expect that the company will take care of you. That was maybe never our world anyway, but
Right.
People have behaved that way. But, and I'm very optimistic about millennials and Gen Z. You know, they don't seem to be as materialistic. They seem to have a sense of fairness about them. They need to focus and pay more attention to what's going on in the world and work harder, I think. Hmm. But maybe that comes from my Midwestern background and Midwestern work ethic. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin. I went to the University of Wisconsin. So, you know, you started working very early on. And
right.
I've worked my whole life because I enjoy working. You know, right now I'm incredibly fortunate and I get to do work I want to do every day. And
right.
a lot of people don't have that. And one of the
right.
ways to deal with that is to start thinking about what is it that I really want to do? How can I be of service to others in a way that will pay me a living wage? And, you know, what can my life perhaps be? And not everyone, I was about to say, not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur, but I don't know that that's true. I think there are lots and lots of different ways, and you don't need to be an outgoing person. You could be an introvert. You just need to be a person who is somewhat self-aware and realistic in your expectations. You know, I didn't start making movies till I was really in my mid to late 40s. I'm 72 right now. And
wow.
And at that point, I practiced law, and I'd been in real estate, and I invested in a variety of other businesses. And to pivot and start investing in media companies and to produce motion pictures may have seemed ambitious, but it was not impossible. It was,
right.
given the skills I had and the background, it was something that I could potentially do. I couldn't decide at that age to become a professional basketball player. That would have been
right.
unrealistic. But
right.
to start making movies and using the experience I had gained and to read as much as I could, I ended up teaching at a law school for 5 years, entertainment law and finance, while buying and selling movies, because a good way to learn something is to try to teach it. And I learned as much as I could. And what I'm encouraging my daughter and other young people to do is learn as much as you can about artificial intelligence. You're naturally technology-oriented. Focus on this and make this a part of your life. Use, you know, the various open AI, chat, GPT systems. Become facile with them. Use, you know, look at Bing, look at DALL-E 2, Metalama 2, all of the different systems out there. Become familiar with those because that's where the jobs are going to be. And
right.
that's another part of the book, which says, you know, look around you, read as much as you can, listen as much as you can, and look where the opportunities are. Right now, the major job opportunity of the next, you know, certainly the new roaring 20s, the next 10 years, is in artificial intelligence. And you don't mm-hmm. have to be a tech-savvy person to be familiar enough with it and be able to use the tools. Tools are not that difficult to use. You know, those who will succeed, it may well come down to those who are skilled at providing the prompts to AI to shape what AI can create. And so if you want to survive in the new roaring 20s, that's something to look at.
Yeah, I mean, because like you said, once you learn it, you're golden because it does everything for you. I mean, you just have to, like you said, prompt it to do what you want. And it does everything for you. I've actually was reading up on, well, I shouldn't say reading up. On occasion, I'll stumble across something online when I'm scrolling on my phone, and a lot of AI stuff comes up, how to make money with AI, not show your face, this, that, and the other thing. And it's out there. It's definitely out there for folks. So if you want to know more about it, check out Stephen's book. It's called The New Roaring Twenties, and it's How to Prosper in a Volatile Time. I can't say volatile today. Volatile Times. And it sounds like a great book, Stephen. My goodness. So with the strike, I guess you're not investing in any movies right now.
Well, you know, we're an independent, I own a studio, and we're an independent studio, so we are able to get waivers from the guilds in order
to make
some of our productions. Further, we do a lot of foreign language productions and international productions, and those, for the most part, are not governed by the U.S. guilds.
Right.
So a lot of, you know, our production has gone overseas over the years. And that's, you know, if you watch Netflix, I mean, a lot of their shows are subtitled. You know, I frankly was surprised by how much international product is on Netflix. And frankly, the part of that was to be able to attract local audiences, but a goodly part of it is because most international major countries have co-production deals, subsidies, which help mitigate the risk associated with film, which is a very risky undertaking. It's the most difficult business I've ever tried to do. And you have to be hit or miss, right? Well, it is. You know, now I'm not sure that the business of making independent films is even a business anymore. There's really not a theatrical market for it. You know, the studios pivoted away from their perfectly good cable TV and DVD business to streaming.
Right.
And
right.
They're all the major streamers other than Netflix, who has already won this battle. The studios just don't realize it. All the other studios are losing billions pursuing this strategy. They kind of blew up a perfectly good business model, and to a certain extent, they have only themselves to blame.
Right.
And the result of this is that the landscape has changed for creatives, and fewer of them are being employed. Writers' rooms have gotten smaller. The amount of content that's being made is significant, but the structure of the writers' rooms and the number of actors and the places where the films are being made, i.e. overseas, has changed and made it much more difficult for writers, actors, and others to make a living wage.
Strike, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the strike is about residuals from streaming.
Right.
Historically, residuals were paid on TV and DVD revenue because films were made for the theaters primarily. And now films are made and series are made primarily for the streamers. And the streaming companies are not anxious to provide their algorithms and their the results of their individual programming. And to a certain extent, it isn't that easy to do because they're not making money off a discrete piece of content. They're providing a library of content, and to a great extent, other than identifying which content attracts subscribers, they're unable to identify where their profits come from. It comes from the whole system of streaming and providing a large library of content. What has happened as a result is that consumer surplus, which we devote a chapter to, has been provided to the consumer of movies and also of music. You know, there's something called Spotify syndrome, which means that you know, you're able to obtain, you know, an unlimited amount of music, an unlimited amount of movies for a relatively modest subscription price, which is a great deal for the consumer, but it's created a business that is not sustainable, and it's not good for the creatives. They can't make any money.
Right. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you about? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off track, but I just looked over here and I saw your link about they actually have AI officiating weddings now too. That's crazy.
It is. I'm not sure it's really legal, although, you know, Colorado does all sorts of strange things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not sure that this will spread, but what we're seeing are people developing personal relationships with computers. This is something you alluded to earlier in our conversation, where instead of having a human friend, people begin to think that AI is their friend and will provide them the companionship and the friendship that they need. I understand, but it's a little disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Instead, they have no feelings. They don't have how to love, you know, so really what are you getting? You're getting a hollow image or something, you know, but you're not getting a real person or whatever to that degree. But
it's a manipulation is what it is.
Right.
And
their
feeling, human feelings are being manipulated. And, you know, humans have souls and machines so far do not.
Right, right. And if they can get that to happen, then we've really, really pushed the envelope, right?
Yeah, I think that could be it for us.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, Stephen, it has been a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And I am fascinated with this, and I'm so glad we could talk about it. So, folks, if you want to get the book, it's The New Roaring 20s, Prosper in a Volatile – Stephen, can you pronounce it for me, please?
Volatile.
Thank you. Thank you. Prosper in Volatile Times. The New Roaring 20s, Prosper in Volatile Times by Paul Zane Pilzer and, Stephen Jarkow. And you can get that anywhere online. And I guess, can we get it at your website too, Stephen?
We don't have a website. Yeah, you can buy
the
book.
You did. I thought you had a StephenJarkow.com.
I do, but yeah, we're not selling books on the website.
Okay.
The book, the publisher sells the books, and it's in Barnes & Noble and in most independent bookstores and, of course, Amazon and all the other online services.
Right, where you can get your books. Now, when did this book come out? I did want to ask you that.
It came out a few months ago.
Now, obviously, you're on the book tour. What has been your, out of all the interviews you've done in regard to the book, what has been the most outrageous question you've been asked on your interviews? This question. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've had any outrageous questions. You know, people have been kind of wonderful, you know, like yourself, where we've been able to have a thoughtful conversation. And that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but again, conversations are like this, I think, what's going to ultimately prevail with respect to climate change and AI.
Right.
And I really haven't had, I had one fellow who got into a big argument with himself over the national debt. And and you know, and he had no facts whatsoever, just he had a point of view. And you know, that's one of the dangers of social media and AI, is that people read something online and it becomes their truth.
Yeah, well, they think it's true because they see it in print or in video. They think it's true.
Yes. And now with AI, there's going to be even more of it. So
Exactly.
Yeah, we need to be discriminating.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you 100% on everything. So I'm very interested in AI because, like you said, it's going to take over the world eventually. And it's been getting more prominent the last few years. And who knows where we're going next with it. And like you said, it could be good and it could be bad. Same way with technology as we've been dealing with through all these years. I mean, so much technology has taken away so many companies now, you know, in our past that don't exist anymore. We can imagine how many more are going to fall to the wayside because of AI, you know, and people being out of work. It's just, it's not good. It's good and it's bad. Again, with the internet and all that too, it's good and it's bad. It's got, everything has its, you can't outweigh either one. There's good to this, there's good to that, there's bad to this, there's bad, you know, there's no happy medium, I guess, is where I'm going. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know. Most things, including humans, are dual purpose. They have
right
a good part and a bad part. And
right,
you know, our job as humans is to try to
right
focus on the good part.
Right, and I also agree with you. People, get outside, go get some air, go say hello to somebody. My goodness, go do something. Right.
Walk along the sidewalk and say hello to people. Some people
yes
will ignore you. Some people you'll make their day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because you don't know what people are going through, and nobody knows
right
what everybody's going through. And you could turn somebody on a dime where if you say the wrong thing, they'll become angry, or you could say something nice and turn them on a dime and they might appreciate it and be happy that you're acknowledging them. So, oh my goodness. Crazy times, Stephen. Crazy times we're in, right?
Well, it's the new roaring 20s.
There you go. Folks, the new roaring 20s. Stephen Jarkow, thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for the conversation.
We're trying to push
really
this book and getting the word out there of people need to pay attention.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
good
thank
night
you. Thank you, sir. Everybody, Stephen Jarkow, go check out the book, The New Roaring 20s, Prosper in Volatile Times. And I thank you so much, Stephen. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. See, I'm on the internet a lot. I mean, I'm scrolling through my phone like crazy. Either I'm doing research or whatever on guests or whatever. And I see so much coming up about AI. And there is some good to it. Like he said, now, if you check out the book, go pick it up, New Roaring 20s. There are ways to make money off of it as well. If you see, like Stephen said, if you see your job could possibly be in jeopardy because of AI, you know, because it can do anything. My goodness, all you got to do is say, I saw something, you could create a song. My God, you could do a script, anything. You could do anything. You just have to tell it what you want, and it does it for you. It's crazy, but it's the way, it's the sign of the times. It's the way we're going. It's that we're going that way. There's no doubt about it. So I think I'm going to pick the book up. I want to know more about it too. But, I mean, I've been looking at it for the last, I don't know, I guess year or so, I've noticed it's becoming more prominent. So, and again, it's been around forever, you know, in everything we use, it's artificial intelligence. So it's just the beginning, folks, of where we're going. So anyway, what a pleasure speaking to Stephen. Thank you so much for hanging out with me again, Stephen. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got Rosemarie's daughter. We've got her coming on, and her name is Georgiana Nupi Rodriguez. And we're going to be talking to her about the 100th anniversary of her mom, Rosemarie, comedian and actress. So that's going to be great. And on Sunday, we've got All In. They are a band from New Jersey, a couple of guys. They're a boy band. I don't know if you call them a boy band. And they've got a new song out they just released. So it's really good. I heard it and I enjoyed it. So I hope you guys can join us on Sunday for that. And we've got some other stuff kicking. So, oh, no, I did something. I booked a show on the 20th, and I wanted to go do something on the 20th anyway. Oh, I can't get out of that. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't like to do that. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show. I hope you're all well. We've been off the air for, I don't know, 2 weeks. We may not be doing any shows on the last week and first week of the month. I believe I mentioned this before on another show because it's just a little much with what I have going on. It's the busiest time for me. So I try to clear my head and just focus on what I need to do at my normal duties and focus on the show when that calms down. So anyway, we got a great month coming up for you. I saw something on here. I think we are at like our 500th show, our 500th episode, or we may have passed it. I don't even know. I saw it one day and then I didn't see it again. So I have no idea. But anyway, I got to find that. And I got to let you guys know how many episodes we've done already. I can't believe that we've hit 500 already. It's crazy. But it is what it is. So we're having a great time. I am. I'm having a great time. I hope you guys are too. Try to bring you the best guests out there and have a good time with them here. And you're always welcome to call in and join the fun at 646-478-0999. Ask our guest questions or tell me to screw off or whatever you want to say, but whatever. So Stephen P. Jarkow, the book is The New Roaring Twenties. Prospect in Volatile Times, and go check out that book and see what your future holds in technology. All of us, it's going to affect all of us some way, somehow, eventually, and it is here. So we'll see you tomorrow night with Georgiana Nupi Rodriguez, and I'm going to close with Be Kind, because you know what? We don't have enough kindness anymore. Everybody's so angry, like Stephen said. Times have changed. They surely have. Get outside. Go say hello to people and just be a human. Be human again. Have a good night. Take care. Stephen Jarkow. Thanks for listening, folks. The New Roaring Twenties. Go check out the book. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow with Georgiana Nupi Rodriguez. Have a good night. Bye.